Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
I do. I absolutely love it. I'm very passionate about it. I think what's really funny is that for years, FAIR 1.0 thought to be very successful in real estate, you have to be this ultra, ultra high energy, shark-like personality, and just like bursting out of the seams. And I'm more of an introvert. I'm a little quieter. Like I said, I'm like the ninja.
The ninja.
And the ninja, exactly. So I thought, oh, there's not a place for me in, you know, the top dogs of real estate, because they are all these kinds of personalities and I just felt so different from them. And then I realized, well, my why is I like to be the teacher, the educator, the empathizer, be able to navigate deals, be creative and use my brain and all these things. So I found that you can have a different personality type and still be very successful in this industry.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. She's a real estate powerhouse. She's one of the founding members of The Agency. She's a badass entrepreneur and hustler with a tremendous work ethic. You may recognize her from the hit show, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, with her mom, Kyle Richards. She's just an overall juggernaut in all facets of life and a phenomenal human being. Please welcome Farrah Brittany. How you doing, Farrah?
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you. My confidence levels are already boosted.
I take great pride in the intros. Did I do you good?
You did me very well. Thank you very much. And I am doing fantastic on this Friday afternoon, yes. Almost the weekend.
That's it. And I told you before we went on air, I know you've done some of these, but we will definitely make it different. And you and I will absolutely manufacture magic here today.
Let's manufacture some magic.
All right. I'm going to get a little weird to start off. You ready for me?
A little weird. Let's go.
What's your superpower, Farrah?
My superpower is my intuition, 100%.
Love that. You have a good judge of character?
Extremely great judge of character. Just overall vibes. I feel like I can predict things before they happen. So that's absolutely my superpower. Definitely benefits me in my business as well.
I love that. And I'm kind of the same way. And there's been times in the past where I went against my intuition and I ended up biting me in the ass. And I said to myself, should have went with my first instinct.
Always, you always have to trust your gut. Number one.
Yeah.
What's your superpower?
I would say the ability to communicate with people to make them want to be inspired and take action and be better.
Wow.
We'll see if it works.
Very impressive one. Yeah. Give me some of that juju.
I'm going to give it to you. What's something very interesting about you that not too many people know?
That I'm a total weirdo, goofball, and I do not take myself seriously at all. That's like the number one misconception. People think I'm very like serious and reserved. I don't know. I think that's the vibe I give off. I've been told that so many times. And people who know me, I'm completely the opposite. Like 100%.
I'm glad that you said that because I'm a weirdo and I don't shy away from that. I embrace it. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's the best. Who wants to be? Everything else is boring. We all have to embrace our inner weirdos 100,000,000%.
100% agree with that. Normal is overrated and boring.
Absolutely.
Farrah, when was the last time you had an unbelievable belly laugh?
An unbelievable belly laugh. Ooh, wow. It's got to have been with my sisters. I feel like my family, we have the same sense of humor. And probably about a week ago, my sister came over for a little chat and we are always just laughing and laughing when we're together.
That's the best. So,
it's the best.
Which
Nothing
sister?
Better than a belly laugh. Alexia.
Nice.
So she is 7.5 years younger than me. And the past few years, we've started to get very, very close. And it's just such a beautiful thing when you're close with your siblings.
My brother is my best friend in the entire world. I only have one sibling. Ironically, he's also 7.5 years older than me. But
really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's the best. Whenever we're together, we can't stop laughing. It's hilarious.
So probably when you were younger, you probably weren't that close. And as you start to get older, just like that age gap just shrinks.
To be honest with you, we've always been very close. People think it's weird. Like, I never gotten a fight with my brother since I can remember, like 20 years. People think it's strange. We just have such a special bond and relationship, but it's definitely gotten closer as we've gotten older.
And probably because of the age gap is why you never fight. Cause I find that with my younger sisters as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Now we're going to get a little deep. You ready?
Let's get deep.
When did you officially become Farah 2.0?
I became Farah 2.0. Well, I'm still becoming her and it's a work in progress, but I started the work about 2 years ago.
Love that.
Like a whole new journey of sort of a introspective transformation, I guess you could say.
Isn't it the best? Like that self-help, like personal development journey?
It is the best. Honestly, if you are not somebody that's constantly working to improve yourself every single day, I don't want to be friends with you. I need to be around people that are always working on themselves, improving themselves, and, you know, looking for outside source of inspiration. And, you know, we all come together and benefit from that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And let me ask you, since you started this, like, do you find yourself maybe letting go of old relationships that maybe aren't have the same mindset and like where you're going, the same mentality?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I feel like when you start seeking out that kind of information and that kind of, you're just vibing on a higher frequency. And then you go to some of your old relationships or friendships and people just aren't on that level, or they're not, you know, really thinking on a deeper level or working on themselves. I don't have time for that as we get older. You know, we have less time for the BS.
100%. Do you ever feel bad about that or not really? It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Not everyone is going to be. And look, as you continue to grow, some people just don't. We still have friends for different reasons, right? Like you just understand like what you're going to get when you hang out with certain friends. Like some might be, you know, all about the glory days and that's fine.
Right.
It might not be as stimulating, but that's okay too.
Yeah. Some might be for having a fun, having a drink, having a laugh. And you know that that's all that it's going to be. You're not going to get deep into conversation that night.
100% agree. So we'll take it back a little bit to give the audience a little bit of the journey. You actually went to NYU in Manhattan, correct?
I did.
Do you miss it?
It's been a long time. I love New York. I absolutely do. And those 2 years before I transferred to USC were so fundamental in my development and all of that. But I don't know that I could live there again, honestly. It's a little overwhelming, but an amazing place.
Yeah, it could be a little overwhelming, to be honest with you.
You're born and raised there?
Yeah. I've been here my whole life other than college, but I was in Connecticut. So between me and you.
Not too far.
Yeah. This is kind of a secret, but by the time it airs, most people probably know I'm probably moving out there to California this time next year. That's why one of the reasons why I'm going down and take the trip in April, kind of explore and see what's up.
Oh, wow. And what is prompting that?
So I have.
Just like everybody else kind of having the.
It's a good question. You know what it is? Like the last 10 years, I've owned businesses on Wall Street and every day I went to work and, you know, I had employees that worked for me and so forth. But when the pandemic happened, I pivoted a little bit and I started my CLS brand with the mindset work and the coaching. And I'm very humble to say I've had a ton of success. So the good news is I could do this from anywhere. So if there was ever a time to make a little bit of a location change, be now.
Now is the time and you're not alone. I've heard a lot of people doing that. A lot of my friends, a lot. Clients. And it just shows what, you know, a shift in the world makes us realize we can do, or what we thought were our constraints are no longer.
Yeah. And how is it down there? Is it like, there's a pulse again? It's starting to come back a little bit.
Oh my God. It feels like overnight I'm driving down the streets and it's almost like nothing has changed. If it weren't for the masks, it would be like, this was all a dream.
Good.
Absolutely. People are just ready to get out there. It's like guys, almost like it never happened.
Dining yet or no? Do you guys have indoor dining yet?
Yeah, they've started to bring it back. I think it's still at some sort of capacity, but they have started to bring it back.
Got you. Okay, cool. So maybe I'll see you out there.
Yeah, but I am curious, how's the vibe in New York right now? I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah, lately there's been a pulse. Like the other day I was going for a run, like even just like seeing people leave work with suits on midweek, it's almost back, to be honest.
Yeah.
And they've had the indoor dining for a little bit. I went out last weekend, like every table's packed. Maybe there's just not as many tables, but it feels like Manhattan again. There was a time like probably April, May. I mean, I was here throughout the whole thing. It was a ghost town, a little strange, but it's coming back.
Yeah, I heard. My best friends from NYU are still my best friends, and one of them lives there, and I heard all about it. Just, it's crazy, just all the ups and downs.
Yeah, love that. So how did you get into real estate? Was that always the dream? Was that always a passion, or was it the family business? Like, what made you go that route?
So I've always been very much interested in real estate ever since I was a little girl. And I always wanted to drive around all the neighborhoods, see all the different houses. I was very inspired by people's lifestyles. So when Mauricio, my stepfather, got into real estate and he would have open houses, I would want to go there on Sundays. And when I wanted to intern for a summer job before I started college, I wanted to work with him and just get a taste and see if this was something that I wanted to do. And I really did want to do it. But the more interesting part before I get into back to that is all the reasons why I told myself that I shouldn't get into real estate, even though I wanted to, because I was for some reason very concerned about what people would perceive of me going into the family business. So I thought, I don't want to do that because I've worked so hard my whole life to get straight A's, to be at the top of my graduating class. So I don't want to go that route because what are people going to think and what are they going to say? So that was my own insecurity. That was my own issue. Who are these people that I'm even talking about? You know, they, and I mean, it's just like you worry about, I mean, I know people don't, and I wish I could be one of those people, but I was very competitive my whole life. So I always felt like I had something to prove. But when we started the agency and it was now a family business and I wanted to do that anyways, I just thought to myself, who cares what anyone thinks, first of all? And if I can be a part of a family business and be there from day one and help grow it and see how the whole thing transforms and transpires, that's where I want to be, then that's where I'm going to be. And I couldn't, you know, I don't regret any of it. I absolutely love what I do. And it's a fun journey every single day.
Yeah. And I love that. Real estate is so fascinating in on so many different levels. And obviously we'll dive into that. But I always do my homework because number one, I'm a big fan of yours. And number two, preparation breeds confidence. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a time where you were actually considering psychology.
I was. You're absolutely right. And that's where I guess the intuition and all of that comes into play. And I still use psychology in my business. So I didn't get too far off from it. But I wanted to be able to have different experiences all the time. And I just couldn't really see myself in that field ultimately.
Is that one of the reasons why you're so successful at sales? Because you understand the psychology behind it?
I do think so. Honestly, I really do. I think empathy is hugely important when you're dealing with people. Some agents I see just like to project their own, what they think needs to be, and they're not reading the room, and you're constantly having to pivot and adjust to somebody and of course teach them. But at the same time, you have to be empathetic, and that's all part of it. And that's part of intuition and the human psychology.
This is gold. And that's so valuable for the audience because, and a lot of times, like what I teach my clients a lot, at some point is the psychology of sales and some forth. And some of my clients will be like, well, I'm not in sales, so to speak. And I'll say, anyone in any walk of life can benefit from an increased skill set in sales, whether it's a relationship or you're actually selling real estate, whatever the case would be. Let's say you're negotiating a phone bill, whatever the case would be, we're always selling something or ourselves in some capacity, right?
Well, that's absolutely what I was going to say is it's the negotiating part of sales really that everyone can benefit from. So yeah, I mean, I read a book about, I feel like I took like a master class because I basically did in negotiation. I don't know if you've heard of Chris Voss, the FBI negotiator. Oh, wow.
I have heard of that actually.
Yeah. So he's one of the coolest guys. And my real estate coach brought him into our group and we did an all intensive course for like a year and a half. And that's what it was really about. And it was not just in our real estate deals, but negotiating little things each day with your partner, with people who have kids, with their kids. Everything is really a negotiation. Oh. And it's how you approach it to make people, you know, to build trust. And ultimately you can get your way and make the other person also feel like they won. Yeah. There's an art to it. Absolutely.
100%. I love the way you worded that. It's so true. So for the audience and anyone that's doing anything, you can always benefit from an understanding of psychology in regards to sales, not just if you're actually a salesman or saleswoman. I love that you said that.
Yep.
You said you were a little hesitant to get into the family business. So your stepdad, obviously with the agency and stuff, but then also your cousin Paris Hilton, that's all like in real estate as well. So which were you referring to in terms of the family business?
I was referring to the agency, Mauricio, the company that he started and that I'm a partner in.
Gotcha. Cool. And one of the things that I heard about you that I absolutely loved is that you wanted to be his assistant for a little while, put your ego aside and really learn the ropes and really absorb all the knowledge. And this way, when it was your time, you had all that information, right?
Exactly. I think a lot of agents getting into the business, they get into the business because they want immediate gratification. They want to see those big commission checks that they hear about. And they don't always see that is very hard to just jump right in and expect that kind of return. So I always tell people, if you can put your ego aside, you really should start as an assistant or as part of a team and really learn the ropes, get the experience, have a mentor. And the great thing is you get a salary during it, of course. So you don't have to live commission check to commission check. And once you graduate from that stage, you're really ready to get into the business. But there is that, learning curve that you have to go through. And my friends that have just jumped right in the first 1-2 years, sometimes they don't even have one deal under their belt. And had they just, took a different route, they would have been in a much better position.
Yeah. Or even worse, maybe they'll get lucky with the deal in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, then they have a dry spell and they're like, I don't get it. I thought it was so easy, but you're absolutely right. Oh.
Yeah, we hear about that all the time. The kind of agent that gets one check and says, oh, I'm going on vacation. I see this, these dollar signs. I don't need to work for the next 5-6 months. But with this job, it's really every single day is building upon the last. And you see the results, it could be 6 months, 1 year down the road. So to think that it could be a part-time job or half-time job is difficult. People do it all the time, but kudos to them if they're able to do that, because it requires your full attention. Absolutely.
Yeah. And a couple of things of what you just said. Number one, I want to talk about how important it is to, again, put your ego aside and have a mentor. But what's it like working with Mauricio, like in the family? Was that ever awkward? Or you guys just have that great of a relationship that it's a very smooth process?
Very smooth. Definitely. Awkward is not the word. It's just interesting because when people ask me that, they say, oh my God, it's so hard. I know what it's like. It's so hard working with family. I wouldn't say it's hard either. What it is can be a little dysfunctional at times, because when you have that much trust in, okay, we all know that we're all, we trust each other. Nobody's going anywhere. We trust each other with our clients, with our life. So we don't feel like we need to be constantly checking in. So we're a little bit kind of doing our own thing at times. And I think with other people or not family related teams, it's a different process. It's probably, very structured, very strategic, and we're all kind of, doing great, obviously, but dysfunctional family,
Yeah.
No, it can be like that.
100%. And more times than not, it probably is like that.
Yeah. You think, oh, because we're family, we're communicating constantly all day about work, but because we're family, we're almost not as much. So it's kind of the opposite, which I find to be very funny. Yeah. So to wrangle everybody together can be a process at times, but I love working with my family. I mean, our personalities all jive. My sister's in the business now. Mauricio's father, we're all part of the same team. So it's three generations and, wouldn't have it any other way.
And then eventually be the next generation.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. I know what you're thinking. You're asking yourself, how's this guy's hair on such fire? How is it so nice and thick? I want to tell you about the hottest hair styling product line. The brand is called Ryan Scott. I've been using this styling cream and shampoo and conditioner for about a year now, and I can tell you it's absolutely on fire. There's a few things that set it apart from the competition. Number one, the smell is amazing. It's a fresh fragrance of aloe, cucumber, and grapefruit. When I'm working out or on a run, the product doesn't irritate me. In fact, it's invigorating. These products can take you from the bench to the boardroom. Ryan Scott, the founder, is a dear friend of mine, and we're offering exclusively the CLS Universe a special promo. Enter code CLS. Thank me later. Obviously, I'm sure Mauricio, in some fashion, is a mentor to you, but you mentioned like having other mentors and stuff like that. A lot of people these days, like, they have like an ego, like they don't want to ask for support. And I realized personally, like once I put my ego aside and realized that, like, if I don't use the world as my playground and grab knowledge from other people who have done this, the joke's on me. How significant was that for you to have a mentor?
The most important thing. Yes, Mauricio as my mentor is, well, absolutely, I couldn't have asked for anything better than, I feel like I always describe it as I sat next to him for 3 years and was like a sponge, literally just soaking up, listening to his little tools, his tricks, not tricks, but, you know, how he negotiates, how he makes his clients feel, how to navigate very stressful, crazy deals, how to stay calm under pressure. So absolutely, he's number one mentor. But then in the recent years, I wanted to have other viewpoints, other perspectives. So I reached out and I found a real estate coach who is basically one of the top, number one, has been doing it for 25 years. He came from a football background. He actually won a Super Bowl in the 70s.
Really?
I think the Dolphins. I hope that's right. And totally different approach. He really, really pushed me. He really wanted me. It wasn't coaching about, you know, how to do real estate marketing or anything like that. It was, he wanted to put myself out there, you know, get out there more, do podcasts, speak, take speaking engagements, show up more on your mom's show, let your voice be heard. So, and he had his thumb in my back every single day. So I think that having that different perspectives as your mentors, things, different people that can give you different tools is so valuable. And also, you don't have to pay for a mentor. For example, I consider the podcasts that I listen to or the books that I read, those are kind of like mentors as well.
Indirect mentors.
Indirect mentors. Yes.
Yeah.
Take little nuggets from here and from there and just build it all into this little machine.
That's right. And the audience is going to get so many nuggets here today just from you. Once you started like going in, putting yourself out a little bit more, being on your mom's show and so forth and stuff like that, did you start to see the results immediately?
Well, in the sense of it got easier. It's not my baseline. It's not my natural personality. My whole life, I've been like the ninja, you know, like in the shadows, getting all my work done, doing everything. You know, I didn't feel any need to like shout out to the world. But I realized, oh, it's because I'm afraid to do that. So I'm acting like, oh, you know, I just like to be on the sidelines. No, it's because I was afraid to kind of be more in the spotlight. So that's why he pushed me to do that. He saw that in me. So I started to do it. And the immediate results were, yes, each time I did something, even just as, you know, low stakes as a story on Instagram, felt like huge for me. And just one by one, little by little, realizing that, okay, who cares? You know, nothing happened. I didn't die. I'm alive. It's all good. And it got easier.
Yeah. And I can relate to that because when I started my CLS brand, like I had built successful businesses, but never like online. So once I started putting out content and so forth, it was me stepping out of my comfort zone. But the first time I did, it was kind of liberating. Like the shackles were removed. And then, like you just said, it gets a little bit easier every time, less scary, so to speak.
Right. I mean, I think anytime you're putting yourself out there for people to judge, and especially since I didn't ask to be, you know, have these family members or be on this TV show, I didn't necessarily ask to have all these eyeballs on me. It felt like extra pressure. But then you really come down to it and you just think to yourself, I'm just stopping myself from doing great things. And for all these people who I never even heard of, I don't even know their name. Yeah. So the joke's on me.
Yeah. And you've gotten significantly better, like, dealing with any type of, I don't know, hate that comes your way, right? Because listen, if you're going to take a shot at life, no matter what you're doing, there's always going to be opinions, even if they're completely irrelevant.
Exactly. Yeah. If you want to be successful in life or do great things, you have to know that it's going to come with negativity, judgment, some haters, and that probably means you made it. So yeah. If you can look at it that way, then it's a great thing.
The only time it doesn't come is if you're just coasting and you're not really taking a shot at life.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't expect change if you don't go the extra mile to get that change. You really have to constantly work at that.
I like how your mom deals with some of them. She heckles with them, right?
Oh my God. Yes. Literally, it makes me laugh so hard. She really, I think it's the mom in her, like the protective nature in her. If someone writes a mean comment about us, whatever, appearance with stupid things, she actually responds. And I ask her, why do you even use your energy towards that? Like, I just ignore it or I block them because I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. Good. I love that. Another thing that I heard that you say, which I really love, because I don't have that much experience in real estate, honestly, you said something along the lines of this, like a lot of people out there, they want to like be familiar with so many different areas and neighborhoods, but like what you should do is be a ninja and like zone in on a couple specific areas and know that like an absolute expert and kind of stick with that location. Is that right?
Exactly. And I mean, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not telling people, you know, only you can work in one neighborhood and don't try to work in other neighborhoods. But to be an amazing resource, to be an amazing, you know, to be able to provide information and data, you can't know everything about every comp, every neighborhood, you know, all over town. So if people are coming to you for a certain neighborhood and you can really hone in on that, and, you know, build that and be that person, that resource, that go-to person, then I think you're in a much stronger position. And from there, then perhaps you can build up from there, move to another neighborhood. But I think start micro in that way is ideal.
I think that makes sense for really any field that you're in.
Yeah. And especially in real estate, because of these platforms like Zillow and all this technology, if a buyer is specifically looking in a certain neighborhood, they already have done all their pre-research. They already know. They've hyper-focused for the last 6 months, 1 year on all the houses that have sold. They know the comps and they go to you and they ask you a question and you're like, I don't know. Hold on. Let me look that up. Of course, that's fine every once in a while, but you need to provide value unless you want to just be obsolete, you know? So that's why I think it's super important, because buyers are so savvy these days. They know exactly what they want. So you have to be one step ahead.
Yeah. Always playing chess, not checkers.
Always playing chess. Exactly. And that's also part of the intuition and the empathy, right?
Psychology.
Like the psychology. You're always anticipating the next step.
That's 100%.
And all the different steps.
Yes. I love that. Do you ever study NLP, neuro-linguistic programming?
No, but one of my best friends is studying it and she's going to become a pro at it. Or so I don't know what that even means. She talks about it all the time. And I know it relates to things that I am interested in and I talk about, because that's how it comes up in conversation, but I don't know enough about it.
I have a feeling you're going to find that soon. Essentially, it's the ability to reprogram your brain. So like changing your perspective on things or changing what you associate pain and pleasure to. So for example, like back in the day, like when you were a little bit maybe nervous to put yourself out there on Instagram or your mom's show, whatever the case would be, you could change that from being a fear or phobia into a pleasure and just step right into it and completely own the situation, which you've done anyway. But NLP, it's a cool technology to kind of make change fast.
So I think this is related to, have you heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza?
Yes, yes.
Becoming Supernatural. So this is how amazing my real estate coach is, by the way.
Tell me.
That's the other person or the other book that he had us read. I didn't read the whole thing. It's very, very, very long. But he basically would teach us every single day that you can literally create your reality and rewire your brain to think you're already there. So right. He would have us write these visions of our life, our goals, our inspiration, everything, write it all out, type it all out, even put it to music and have us read it over and over and over again, meditate on it. and really trick your brain, because your brain doesn't know the difference. Is this what we're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Into thinking you're already there. You're already that person. You're that, you have everything that you need. You have that success. You have all that. I mean, material and non-material things. Even with your health, I've heard that people can, who had cancer, was, I guess, able to make it go away in some sense. So yes, I'm very interested in that. I didn't even know that was what it was called.
All that stuff that you just referred to, especially him, Dispenza, that's all NLP. So you are familiar, and I'm thinking,
got it. Okay, yeah. Good.
You love this.
Very stuff. Into that stuff.
Yeah. It's really cool. And it's really fascinating how, like, you changing your perspective, you look at things and everything opens up and changes.
Yeah. And I think bringing in that scientific aspect of it, hopefully people who thought it was maybe a little woo-woo or something like that can understand it's actually proven in the brain, changes literally your chemical composition or whatever you call it.
That's right.
Which is incredible.
Science.
Science.
Yeah. I love that. Also, another thing that you said that really stuck out to me is, you know, a lot of people think that you have to have this overwhelming, you know, injection of confidence to get results. But I heard you say sometimes maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you don't have all the confidence, but you step up and you take some messy action, maybe not the perfect, but you take some messy action, and then that creates confidence.
This is probably one of the most valuable things that I learned about a year and a half ago, because as a perfectionist, yeah, I mean, it's a good and a bad thing, but I learned more and more recently being a perfectionist is way worse of a thing than a good thing. Again, that was the old me, Farah 1.0, thought that that was such a great thing to know about myself. You know, I like to get things perfect, not be perfect, but get things done perfectly. And then realize, wow, there was so many times I just said, no, unless I have it 100%, I'm not going to do that. Unless I know I can be the best at that, I'm not going to do that. And I heard from one of these mentor people that I had in my life. This is another one. That sometimes you need to commit and then the confidence will come. So just commit to that one speaking engagement, commit to doing that podcast, whatever. And if you just know that you're going to be there and you're going to show up, the confidence might come after, and it might not be when you're ready. So when we hear a lot now on social media, you know, no one's ever ready. That always sticks with me now, you know. And you just got to start now.
But it's true. It's all over social media. It's trendy, but I agree with it 100%. And you, because, like, I'm not a parent. I know you're not, but, like, no one's ever ready to have a kid, or no one's ever ready for that speaking engagement 100%, or to go to the open house, whatever the case may be. You step up, you take some action, and then the experience creates some confidence. Oh, wait, I've done this before. It's my second speaking engagement. The first one wasn't my best performance, but I got it under my belt. So now I know what to expect and so forth.
Exactly. And then maybe by the third one, someone says, oh, you did a great job. And you think, oh, wow, I guess I did do a good job. Not that external validation is necessary, but I think it's all related. And then the next time you have a little boost of confidence, you might walk out there with a little more swag or whatever. And then that really just started ultimately with committing to show up.
That's right. I'm very selective and strict when using any types of products, period. However, the CLS experience is all about elevating your state and getting the mind right, as it is our biggest asset in life. Something I've incorporated into my life is CBD, specifically Sweat CBD. Just like this podcast, Sweat CBD is all about enhancing your state, designed to optimize your physical and mental well-being. I personally love their products, specifically the oil and the gummies. I've tried a few different CBD brands and products, and to me, this is the most natural feeling. I love their products and what the brand stands for. The founder of Sweat CBD is a dear friend of mine, and she's offering the entire audience, all the listeners, CLS family and universe, a special promo code. Enter CLSCBD at sweatcbd.com. Enjoy. I love you all. So you have real estate mentors, which I think is fantastic, because you can't learn enough. Are you in any masterminds, like group settings, or just the one-on-ones?
Both. Nice. So the real estate coach has also a group program, and it's just all like-minded peers all trying to get better, do better. And, you know, bringing in different people like the FBI negotiator, Joe Dispenza. I don't know if you've heard of Patrick Sweeney, Fear is Fuel.
Yes.
So this is another person that our real estate coach brought to the table, Ryan Holiday, if you're into stoicism. So kind of just like attacking all angles of being your best self. So through the group though, is where I also learned so much from seeing all the different personalities. You have the ultra, ultra confident agents, people that are ready to speak up every second and ready to fail. Other people who really are having a hard time speaking up in the group setting, all different walks of life. And I think it's so valuable to learn from groups, not only have the one-on-one mentor, both.
100% agree with you. So many cool things. Number one, your mentor must be the guy, because those are some nice juggernauts that he's bringing in as guest speakers.
The so that's guy. Yeah, yes.
Definitely. The guy behind the guy behind the guy. That's awesome. Good for you. And then also, I agree with you 100% because I pivoted a little bit from the one-on-ones and I started my own mastermind somewhat recently. And it was just the coolest experience ever. There's something to be said about like being in the same room as other like-minded individuals. And like you said, like maybe not everyone has the same goals or the same confidence level, but like everybody's there because they want to grow. They want to reach a little higher. And that rubs off on other people because it holds accountability.
Absolutely. And then the next day, each time you learn something new that you maybe wouldn't have learned otherwise.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Love all of this. I have to ask you about your fitness routine because I know you're on fire. Oh. I've spoken about it on Instagram a little bit and I'm big into fitness too. What is your routine right now? What's your deal?
My routine, my fitness routine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we built out a home gym in our garage recently because of the pandemic. I've tried every single workout. I've done everything. And I've had trainers, all great. But I found out a very simple thing about myself. I need music blasting. I need to get pumped up. Like I need that bass. And I will put in so much more of an effort. So I'm using an app. It's called the Sweat App. Obsessed. And but the music is what is making me work out so much harder. And people are like, oh, really? Like what, how do you find the motivation? Like you really follow this app? How do you show up every day? And I'm like, first of all, I see the gym outside my window when I'm making my coffee. So there's zero excuses.
No excuses, but
forget building a home gym. I mean, you don't need to have equipment to do it. You can do, go outside on the sidewalk, go for a run, get some little free weights. It doesn't matter. But I just know that I need that working out one-on-one by myself with music is all I need. And I've really stepped up my game.
Love that. Do you run at all?
I actually really like running. I do, but don't have room for a treadmill and I don't like running outside.
Why not? So,
it hurts my knees.
Really? Well, that's understandable.
And shins.
That's understandable.
But I actually enjoy running. I always have.
Yeah.
You are a runner. You already told me that.
Yeah.
So what is your routine? Are you into weights as well?
So I always lifted weights. That was always my thing. But then 2 years ago, I got into running and I have a little bit of addictive personality. And I ran 4 marathons 2 years ago, which was a lot of fun. And since then, I've kept running.
Yes, yes, I did.
Yeah. So running now is like, it's my lifestyle. I love it. I run 4 times a week. The other 3 days, I'll go upstairs and lift some weights. But for me, running is where the magic happens. The weights is still lovely, but it's more to maintain.
Okay, got it. How long are you running for?
Depends on the day. Like Saturdays are the long runs. So I'll probably run anywhere from 10 to 15 miles during the week. Yeah. Usually just like 6 here and there, 6 miles here, 6 miles there.
Oh, nice. So I'm the opposite. I just got really into weights lately and I love, love, love it. Nice. I just feel very strong now. I have muscles that I'd never had before.
Good.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. And also if it's something different to you and you start to see the results, you become addicted to them.
Right. And yeah, that also is the commitment before confidence thing. At least it was for me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What's the most exhilarating thing that happens for you working in real estate?
The most exhilarating thing. Well, exhilarating. Okay. Well, I guess there are 2 things. Is seeing these properties. I mean, I forget sometimes that I live in LA and I'm lucky enough to have the opportunity to see $50 million houses, 20, 30, even sometimes 100. And some of these properties are ones that you see on social media, but you know, it's going all over the world. And I forget that I'm in the Mecca of one of, you know, the most amazing places for real estate with some of the best weather. And I get to see these unbelievable properties as part of this is my day job. This is what I do. So, you know, getting to walk those properties, seeing somebody's vision come to life, you know, an architect's vision, a designer's vision, that is exhilarating. And maybe, you know, every once in a while, I'll meet a very cool celebrity, and that's fun too, to try to keep your cool.
Nice.
But that's fun too. The reason I paused in the beginning was because that is when you said exhilarating, the word that, you know, that makes me think like exciting and fun. But I was thinking also, you know, the experiences with my clients is what makes my job exhilarating every day or worthwhile. Them saying that, you know, I've taught them something. Thank you so much. You've really walked me through this process. The communication has been great. And kind of feeling like we've collaborated on a deal is like also another form of exhilaration. Just feeling like,
love all.
Yes.
Yes. I love all this. This hits home. And the passion is no secret. Like, it's oozing out of you. I could tell that you're doing exactly what you were born to do, and you absolutely love it.
I do. I absolutely love it. I'm very passionate about it. I think what's really funny is that for years, FAIR 1.0 thought to be very successful in real estate, you have to be this ultra, ultra high energy, shark-like personality, and just like bursting out of the seams. And I'm more of an introvert. I'm a little quieter. Like I said, I'm like the ninja. The ninja, exactly. So I thought, oh, there's not a place for me in, you know, the top dogs of real estate, because they are all this kinds of personalities. And I just felt so different from them. And then I realized, well, my why is I like to be the teacher, the educator, the empathizer, be able to navigate deals, be creative, and use my brain and all these things. So I found that you can have a different personality type and still be very successful in this industry.
Love that. And everyone, like, this, what's the expression? Like, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, so to speak. Yours is a ninja.
No, I love cats. Don't skin them. I'm looking at my chin outside right now. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. That's okay.
But I love that you have your own approach. It's unique, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Not everything has to be like a shark and, you know, go, 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 high energy. Still get the job done.
Right. That's definitely the takeaway.
I understand what you do. Do you also invest in real estate also?
I just started.
There you go. Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's like thank you. That is my goal in life, passive income. So I just bought my first investment property and just renovated it. Yeah. Really, really is really exciting. I'm about to be a landlord soon. So hopefully this is one of many to come. And that is what I'm envisioning, a whole portfolio of, of real estate. So eventually I can just retire and let the real estate work for me, you know?
That's it, 100%. But even if I'm sure you'll be well off, but you'll always do something in real estate because you're passionate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For sure. I mean, I'm not getting out of this business, whether it's continue, you know, depending on how long I am a real estate agent, could be for life. Yes. But also when you invest and do and own a lot of properties, that's a full-time job in itself too, because you're constantly renovating, you're, you know, exchanging, you're getting properties ready for sale, you're getting tenants in and out. So that is also a job in itself.
Yeah. So is there like somewhere on the map, so to speak, that you would absolutely love to own a property in?
Actually, it's not so specific about the location, because the best locations don't have the best returns, believe it or not, because the land value is so expensive. So I'm not actually too worried about locations, more just, I guess, in this it could be quality and quantity. But yeah, the number of properties is usually easier to obtain in kind of out of region areas.
Yeah. Love this.
And but probably like around LA would be easier to actually manage. So just anywhere in LA where the return is great and it all makes sense.
Understood. I have to believe now is probably a good time from considering the pandemic. I'm sure things are down a little bit, right?
No, not at all. It's crazy here. I mean, it's so wild because interest rates are so low. And I only said no like that because you would think that absolutely. And
no, I would love to get educated.
Yeah. Like when the pandemic first started, we thought, oh, this is it. You know, it's, we've been on this uptick. LA has had this real estate bubble that just been waiting to burst because all real estate, you know, happens in cycles, can't go on forever. And so we were all preparing for the worst. And then lo and behold, the real estate has been absolutely crazy. The days on market have gone down because interest rates are so low and buyer demand is so high, always has been, but especially now there's so much competition that our prices are staying very strong, and it's absolutely madness over here. So Thank God, no complaints. Hopefully it stays like this for as long as possible, but it is, it's pretty crazy to see.
Yeah. So back out east over here, everybody was fleeing New York City. Like I said earlier, it was a ghost town. So the real estate in Long Island, like Westchester, all those places skyrocketed, and Manhattan went down a little bit, at least if you're, you know, renting or leasing, but.
I heard that.
Yeah.
It's probably a good time to buy in Manhattan though. I've been thinking that. Yeah. Like, oh, I should start looking into the real estate over there. It's a very different animal over there. Like everything, the process and all that. So I'd love to get educated on that.
Yeah.
Understood. Do you watch any real estate shows?
Yeah, I do.
I like on the spot.
Yeah. I'd love to be challenged. I like both of them. The one $1 million listing in LA and also in New York.
Okay. Yeah. It's so funny. Those shows are great. And it's funny because these are actual real estate agents that I interact with all the time. And, but in LA, it's just very normal. Everybody's on a TV show. Yeah. Even me. It's crazy. It's crazy.
That's right.
No, those and I'm friends with Frederick, from, well, I guess he's on LA now also.
He is?
Yeah. Oh. Well, he moved here. I think he's on both shows.
I'm a little behind. But
I leased him his house when he moved here, and
we became awesome.
Really good friends. Yeah, so
Brian's on fire out here right now.
I know. He's a new person that I've actually, because I don't watch that show that often.
Yeah,
but I recently started following him because he's so inspiring. That energy, that's just not who I am, but just a little bit of that energy, a little dose here and there is very inspiring. So I love the content he's creating. I'm a new big fan.
Yeah. Love all of that. The shows are fun, but to be honest with you, like for the casual viewer, it doesn't look like the process takes so long when someone sees like a sick place and then the sale happens behind the scenes.
Oh my God.
A little while longer than that, correct?
Yeah. You know, most of our clients do not want to be on TV. So, I mean, it's really hard. I don't know how they do it. They, you know, figure it out, but not everything is how it appears on TV.
Understand.
Absolutely not. There's a lot more that goes into it.
I believe it. Your work ethic is really remarkable. I appreciate it and respect it very much. For the audience listening, because it's something I get asked a lot, and I'd love for them to hear your perspective on it. Now that you're so, you've always been so ambitious, but like go, and you have so many things going on. Now you're doing the investing. How do you personally avoid a burnout, Bara?
Oh my God. It's hard, but it's constantly on my mind because I don't do well when I'm burning the candles on both ends. I don't do well. So I do take self-care very much into consideration. I say no a lot to things that are going to drain me of my energy. I've learned recently just how precious our energy is.
Yes.
And, especially for someone like me that is a little, on the shyer end of things, it takes me more to have it takes me more energy to expend. Basically, I feel like than your average person. So it's very sacred. And, you know, I say no to dinners that I don't want to go to. I said no to events that I don't want to go to. And, I try to sleep well, exercise, and, Just make sure you have time for friends and family, and you can turn off at a certain time every day. But, and routine, very important.
I agree. I'm big into structure also. And, yeah. And also something you
structure
said,
is freedom. People don't, you know, necessarily think that, but it absolutely
I think
is.
It's the opposite, but yeah, no, you're right. When you don't have structure, that typically leads to procrastination.
100 million percent. Yes.
And also you mentioned saying no more. That's something that I'm working on. Let me be very clear. It's a journey, but I've been doing it with ease a lot more, saying no to things that like are energy draining or don't necessarily serve me, or just to preserve my own energy. It's been a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. You really need to preserve your energy so that when you are coming on your podcast or doing things to serve your clients, your people, that you can come 100%. So definitely, you know, looking at each thing and thinking, you know, does this serve me? Does this serve my people? If not, then do without it.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a quick hack to maximize your energy on command, just because you said it takes you a little bit longer to kind of get that level. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is an NLP technique. So it's called anchoring. I'm sure you've like been familiar with it, but maybe not exactly like this. So you take an exhilarating experience from your past, whatever the case may be. Maybe you met your boyfriend, you closed your first deal in real estate, anything that was really cool. Put yourself in that moment on a very deep level. Literally, like, remember what it smelled like. Remember what you saw, who was around. Yep. Then you bring yourself back to the present moment. And because you were in that exhilarating state, your state is immediately elevated. And then, as you know, from a high state, it's not what can I do, it's what can I do. It's a good technique to use.
That's a really, really good technique. Yes. I love that. I'm definitely going to try that out. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So my audience, I know, is going to immediately fall in love with you. I know that you're around. They could see you on TV, on Instagram. But where do you hang out the most? Where's the best way for them to follow you and catch up on what you got going on?
Definitely on Instagram. So you can follow me at FarahBritt with two T's. And that's where, yeah, pretty much that's the only platform I'm on at the moment. I will have a YouTube channel coming soon.
Wow.
That's the first time I've ever even said that out loud.
Yes.
Yes, but that is coming soon. So everybody stay tuned.
What kind of content can we expect? Or is it a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise. It's going to be a mix of lifestyle and real estate. So, you know, just things I do on the daily, fun stuff too. Skincare, makeup, beauty, fashion, mixed with real estate tips, going, you know, on a day in the life, staging a house, Q&As, all these kinds of things. Just a place where I can get more engaged with my audience and bring a little more to the table.
I love it. And for the audience, by the time this episode drops, we'll have over 100,000 viewers, downloads. Go say what up to Farah. She doesn't bite. She's very friendly. Speak to her on Instagram.
Yes, please do. And yes. Congratulations to you. This is awesome. And you're an inspiration to me as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that. And I want you to know that you don't shy away from your challenges as they've shaped you. Something I find very relatable and liberating. You're the definition of perseverance and grit, from finding yourself as an assistant to now fulfilling your destiny as an absolute juggernaut at the agency, learning everything there is to know about real estate, now investing and continuing to blossom and evolve as Farah 2.0. I could personally guarantee that your best is yet to come. You're someone I admire, I appreciate, I respect very much. I can't wait to continue to watch you fly. And this will absolutely not be the last time that we collaborate.
Amazing. Wow. You're definitely leaving me with good vibes. And I'm feeling very inspired. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Have a and I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.